When insurrectionists stormed the Capitol on January 6, 2021, they exposed America's deepest wound, a democracy built on contradiction. From our founding documents that proclaimed liberty while codifying slavery, to our modern politics that preach equality while practicing division, America has always been a nation at war with itself. Trump's presidency didn't create these divisions, it merely amplified the diseases present since our founding. The question isn't whether recent events pushed us further from our democratic ideals, but whether we were ever as close to them as we believed. The COVID-19 pandemic only intensified this collective trauma, leaving Americans isolated and betrayed by a government unwilling to protect its citizens. Even after Biden's victory, the big lie continued to poison our national discourse, with millions embracing a president whose incompetence led to countless preventable deaths. Without confronting these traumas, how can we possibly heal? Imagine a different America, one where the promise of equality after the Civil War had been fulfilled. When slavery ended in 1865, the nation stood at a crossroads. The Freedmen's Bureau was established, and General Sherman's Special Field Order 15 set aside 400,000 coastal acres for formerly enslaved people. Black communities made remarkable strides. 600,000 children attended schools, and 2,000 Black Americans were elected to various offices. But Lincoln's assassination derailed this progress. His successor, Andrew Johnson, systematically dismantled Reconstruction, pardoning former Confederates and vetoing civil rights legislation. The constitutional amendments that should have guaranteed equality contained devastating loopholes, like the 13th Amendment's exception for punishment for crime, which opened the door to the Black codes and convict leasing. By 1876, the federal government had abandoned Black Americans to a century of Jim Crow oppression. What might America look like today if those first steps toward racial justice had been allowed to continue? The post-Reconstruction South wasn't just segregated, it was a terrorist state. Sharecropping trapped Black families in intergenerational debt through company stores charging markups of 100 to 1,000%. The convict leasing system exploited the 13th Amendment's loophole to create what many called worse than slavery. To feed this lucrative system, vague laws criminalized vagrancy and loitering, terms selectively enforced against Black citizens. The conditions were horrific. Sugarcane workers typically died after 7 years, while turpentine camps were described as human slaughter pens. Violence wasn't random, but systematic terrorism advancing white supremacy. Over 6,500 documented lynchings occurred between 1865 to 1950, with spectators treating these public tortures like picnics, posing for photographs with their children around still smoldering corpses. Throughout American history, Black success consistently triggered white violence. The 1921 Tulsa Massacre exemplifies this pattern. A thriving Black community called Negro Wall Street was completely destroyed, killing 300 Black residents. How can we reconcile this history with our national mythology of progress and justice? America's history reveals a disturbing pattern. Those in power rarely face consequences for their actions. Consider Robert E. Lee, often portrayed as a noble figure despite personally ordering severe whippings of enslaved people who attempted escape. In 1975, Congress restored Lee's citizenship rights by a vote of 407-10, with President Ford praising him as a symbol of valor and duty, deliberately overlooking his role in a war that claimed over 600,000 American lives. Richard Nixon established the modern template for presidential impunity when he secretly sabotaged Vietnam peace talks before the 1968 election, extending the war by 7 years and causing thousands of unnecessary deaths. Gerald Ford's pardon of Nixon after Watergate cemented the dangerous precedent that presidents operate above the law. This pattern continued when Obama declined to investigate Bush administration torture programs or prosecute banking executives after the 2008 financial crisis. Each failure to demand accountability has emboldened future actors to push boundaries further. Isn't this how democracies die? Not through dramatic coups, but through the slow erosion of accountability. Trump's American Carnage inaugural speech was a blueprint, not mere rhetoric. His presidency began with a lie about crowd size and grew to over 30,000 documented falsehoods. With Republicans controlling all government branches initially, Trump dismantled democratic norms while validating previously marginalized bigotry. The Justice Department became his personal tool, with Attorney General Barr acting as Trump's Roy Cohn, undermining investigations and targeting enemies. The State Department suffered a mass exodus of expertise under Tillerson, weakening American diplomacy for a generation. During COVID-19, Trump privately acknowledged to Woodward the virus was deadly stuff, while publicly downplaying it. After losing the 2020 election, he embraced the big lie, believing he could overturn results as he had overcome previous obstacles. Even as January 2021 became America's deadliest pandemic month, with one American dying every 28 seconds, Trump attacked the CDC for allegedly exaggerating COVID statistics. What happens to a democracy when truth becomes negotiable? America was founded on an unresolvable paradox. The Declaration of Independence proclaimed liberty and equality, while the Constitution explicitly protected slavery through provisions like the Three-Fifths Compromise. This contradiction created parallel historical tracks, the brutal factual history alongside a carefully constructed myth of white supremacy. The Supreme Court has consistently reinforced this contradiction through devastating decisions. Dred Scott, 1857, declared black people could never be citizens. United States v. Cruikshank, 1876, gutted federal protections against racist terrorism. Plessy v. Ferguson, 1896, legitimized Jim Crow segregation. Even in modern times, the court has maintained this pattern, with Chief Justice John Roberts claiming in Parents Involved, 2007, that segregated neighborhoods resulted from abstract societal discrimination rather than specific government policies like redlining. The court's current structure particularly invites reform. Barack Obama, who won the popular vote twice and served 8 years, appointed only 2 justices, while Donald Trump, who lost the popular vote and served 1 term, appointed 3. How can we reconcile our democratic aspirations with institutions that systematically undermine them? The trauma of slavery was comprehensive, psychological, emotional, and spiritual abuse that modern epigenetics suggests can be passed down genetically. American infrastructure perpetuates racism, from bridges built too low for buses carrying minorities to beaches, to the disproportionate exposure of black neighborhoods to toxic Superfund sites. The Harvard Everyday Discrimination Scale shows direct correlations between discrimination and increased health risks, resulting in 200 premature black deaths daily before COVID-19. Nixon's war on drugs evolved under Reagan into a systematic tool targeting black communities, creating wildly disproportionate sentences for crack versus powder cocaine. By 2003, blacks comprised 80% of federal crack possession defendants, despite being only 30% of users. To heal, we must resist calls to move on. Trauma changes us at the cellular level, and dismissing pain only postpones freedom from it. We must assess the structural failures that left us vulnerable, particularly our treatment of mental health as an afterthought rather than essential infrastructure. Until everyone can vote unimpeded and economic plunder ends, America is not a true democracy. There's no moving forward without facing the truth and feeling the pain. Are we brave enough to confront our past so we can finally create a more perfect union?